This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, How Do We Know? You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Researchers are always quick to point out that correlation does not imply causation. For example, even if most people listen to music sometime during the week before they die, the music didn't cause their death. Proving that X caused Y gets really complicated, especially when it comes to health issues, because there are so many factors that could play a role – genetics, environment, diet, stress. But when more and more soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan experience serious breathing problems, they started to suspect one experience they all had in common was the cause. Proving that connection has been a slog. Christopher Harlan Dunaway has this story.
Army Specialist Thomas Fitzinger is 28, a dad, and lives in California's Sierra foothills. When I ask him about his last days in Iraq, Tom pauses to do two things. He takes a drag on a cigarette, hits his asthma inhaler after. Both seem to settle him a bit. He flicks his lighter and he's right back in the desert.
It felt like when you're making bacon early in the morning and you crack that oven open and the heat just punches you in the face.
In 2011, Tom was stationed in Iraq at Camp Adder. It was a forward operating base, FOB for short. He worked as a military policeman. When big rigs came to the front gate filled with supplies, Tom searched them for explosives. He ran a lot, sprinting back and forth between trucks. When the United States pulled out of Iraq, Tom and the remaining troops were suddenly alone on this huge, empty base. Their last job, burn everything.
We were actually really trying to clean the FOB up to make it look good for the Iraqi army. So we would just make like these 8-foot mounds of fire, of garbage and wood and whatever. We felt like, will this melt? You know, like we didn't know any better.
The burn pits made huge plumes of black smoke you could see from miles away. Tom opens a drawer and shows me the ski mask he used to wear to block out the smoke and dust.
I haven't washed this since then.
He pulls it over his head and covers his mouth.
And we'd run around like that, because it's kind of thick.
It wasn't enough.
We'd get done, and our face would be black, our teeth would be black. You know, I'd have that soot in my mouth from the fuel.
Finally, they handed the keys to the base over to the Iraqi Air Force and drove away. When Tom came home, his mind was on his next goal, Afghanistan. First, he had to pass his physical training test.
We were running a mile down the road as fast as we could, doing push-ups and sit-ups and running a mile back as fast as we could. And I was normally like a 6-minute mile runner. And I got to the end of that mile and I passed out. And my platoon sergeant was like, dude, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I think I have a chest cold. I can't breathe. Like, I can feel my lungs working, but I'm not getting any air to my head.
It wasn't a chest cold and it didn't go away. An MRI scan of his lungs showed they were inflamed and cloudy. No answers. Tom's big plans to return overseas, that didn't happen. The Army discharged him. Said he couldn't serve for medical reasons. His lungs got worse. Things got really bad. Tom's dad, George, was right there when it happened.
What I saw was a desperate struggle to breathe.
We were sitting on my couch, and I had a full-blown asthma attack. I couldn't breathe, and I was laying down on the couch. He was putting hot cloths over my head. He was trying to get me into the bathroom while he had the hot shower going with the steam, and he was making me tea and just trying to get me to breathe, and you know, and eventually it subsided, you know, and he's like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know.
And as a dad, it was frightening for me because I wasn't sure what I could do to help him. It was like deja vu all over again.
Deja vu because of George's own personal experience. He fought in Vietnam.
I just remember one day having some planes come over really low, and they were spreading orange powder that was coming out the side doors and literally watching it float down. And, you know, when you're walking through the jungle and you move the foliage out of the way, it's like pollen. It goes up in the air. And then before it settles, you breathe it in.
The chemical dust was Agent Orange. It made trees drop their leaves so the Viet Cong could be spotted hiding in the bare forest. It also sickened everyone involved, but the Department of Defense and VA denied it was poisonous. They said the science was inconclusive. So one man, a sick veteran, sued the chemical manufacturer. Company memos released during the trial showed the company's new Agent Orange could be dangerous. Veterans from all over the U.S. joined the lawsuit, and won a $180 million settlement. But by the time the case settled, the original plaintiff and many other poisoned veterans had died. Tens of thousands of others were left with lifelong complications. Tom's dad, George, has hepatitis, diabetes, neuropathy, high blood pressure, and recurring rashes, all symptoms of Agent Orange poisoning. He shows me his hands.
If you see this finger right here, the calcium has built up into the joint. You can see the surgery marks here and here, here and here. I've had this hand operated on twice, this one once, and this one they're going to do again now.
After George saw his son struggling to breathe, he found a news article about burn pit smoke that seemed to confirm his suspicions. Like any dad on social media, he sent it to Tom on Facebook.
It was him, you know, going, Tom, I think this is it. I think this is your problem, you know, because you've never had this before.
Reports piled up, and in 2013, Congress ordered the VA to create a questionnaire for veterans so they could report their exposure to smoldering garbage. It was called the Burn Pit Registry. The registry showed that soldiers exposed to burn pits were more likely to have high blood pressure and asthma. But the registry finding was in direct conflict with a different study that analyzed air samples at a military base in Iraq called Joint Base Balad. That study showed burn pits didn't affect the air that much at all. So the registry showed there could be a connection, and Joint Base Balad showed there wasn't. With nothing decisive, Tom says it's been hard to get the healthcare he needs at the VA.
When I tell them, like, I'm still having a lot of breathing issues, you know, and I really think that it's from these burn pits everybody's talking about. And not to quote anybody, but it goes, like, it's a possibility, but we don't have any research on it right now. We're still looking into that. So we don't know. We don't know what it is. So for right now, it looks like you have asthma, so we're treating it as such. So I just never went back again.
All right. So remember how Congress ordered the registry? It also ordered the VA to get the registry's data reviewed by the nation's best in the field of epidemiology. Epidemiologists study where public health problems come from and how they spread. Professors, private consultants, a former Department of Health official, an expert on registries all joined the review committee. Their job? They would reaffirm the registry's findings or knock them down.
You know, you try out ideas, you chew on them for a while, you gather more data.
That's David Savitz from Brown University. He gathered the review committee in a conference room with low ceilings, a big wood table, notebooks all over the place. And the data showed the burn pit registry had problems. Only 2.5% of veterans who served near burn pits since the Gulf War filled out the survey, and none of their answers were verified by doctors. Plus, the questionnaire was long.
Many, many, many questions, hundreds of questions.
Most veterans didn't finish it, so can we draw any scientific conclusions from the data?
And I think we made a fairly clear and I think well-justified conclusion that they are not adequate for that purpose.
It might take an entirely new study to settle the dispute. The price tag for that?
It is, you know, several million dollars and takes several years to do.
A proper study could settle everything. But that idea has critics. Remington Nevin is one of them. He's a former Army epidemiologist. He's perpetually taking the Department of Defense and VA to task when they overlook veterans' health problems.
The epidemiology is beside the point. We have a clear biological understanding of how exposure to the harmful chemicals in burn pit smoke causes various cardiopulmonary diseases and various cancers.
Remington says there's a precedent for all of this right here in the United States. When firefighters retire and get sick, state laws assume it was caused by smoke. Experts have proven that connection. So why does the VA deny a similar connection for soldiers? Remington put that question to a colleague who went on to work for the VA. Here's how he replied.
Well, Dr. Nevin, what would you have us do? Would you have us just let every veteran back their pickup truck to the loading dock of the Treasury and drive off with $500,000 in gold coin? Because this is essentially what you're suggesting we do.
He's saying if the VA were to recognize the link and provide health care for all veterans who claim to be sickened by burn pits, that could be incredibly expensive. The VA didn't agree to an interview on tape, but a spokesman answered my questions by email. I asked if the VA denies the burn pit link because it could be costly. Their email said no. Back in the Sierra foothills, Tom, the young veteran with breathing problems, is still waiting. He and his dad, George, are just sitting down to watch the game.
When I joined up, I wrote a check to the government up to and to include my life. It's part of the agreement that you'll take care of me afterwards. I've gone in and asked for x-rays or MRIs and been told, well, come back in 2 weeks. And I said, no, I'm in pain now. I want to know now what's going on. Well, we just don't. I literally said, Doc, I'm going to jump up on top of your desk and I'm going to stay there until you get me an MRI.
That I'm mad about. The fact that if I wanted to go to the doctor right now and say I'm concerned about my lungs, you know, they put a stethoscope up to my lungs that day and go, oh, they sound fine now. And then good luck trying to convince them to get you an MRI just because you, you know, feel fishy about something.
In an email, the VA reiterated their stance. Quote, at this time, research does not show evidence of long-term health problems from exposure to burn pits, end quote. Even though the burn pit registry can't tell us burn pits cause lung problems and other illnesses, epidemiologist David Savitz says it does let us know one thing for sure. Tens of thousands of soldiers were likely exposed to burn pit smoke. Today, that's 134,620 veterans.
Christopher Harlan Dunaway reported this story. The VA has admitted a limited number of illnesses are linked to burn pit exposure, but agency critics say veterans who've gotten care had to be really aggressive to get their illness recognized and treated.